For NPR Music, I'm Rodney Carmichael with a special edition of All Songs Considered. It's a conversation with Raphael Sadiq. Now, this is the longtime artist and producer and former Tony frontman who actually returned to the Tiny Desk after 10 years for this year's Tiny Desk Fest. And this was a sweet half-hour set he put on. It included songs from his new album, Jimmy Lee, which is named after the brother that he actually lost to drug addiction. Raphael Sadiq brought a super tight band with him, and he also brought another young soul talent, singer-songwriter Lucky Day, who joined Raphael for some songs and actually performed two of his own. Now, after the set, Raphael and I, we talked about the inspiration behind this album. And a small warning for listeners, there's some really sensitive subject matter here, especially when Raphael talks about suicide. But it's also part of really what makes this album Jimmy Lee so special. I mean, he pulls so much truth from a lot of this tragedy that he's experienced. And we started off our conversation explaining why his brother Jimmy Lee's addiction never stopped him from looking up to his brother in many ways.
Well, it's 14 kids, first of all.
Okay.
So I'm the youngest boy. I have a younger sister. So everybody was pretty much gone. Like when I was a mistake child, my dad said, you know, so everybody was pretty much out of the house. So when people came back to the house, I was super excited. So you could have been on crack or whatever. I was just happy to see you. So when Jimmy came over, I was just happy. Like, hey, you know, get into a fight. There's no brothers at the house to help with the fights. You got to go out there and fight by yourself. Your mother look outside. You know, you're out there fighting and no brothers running out helping you do it. Yeah. So me and Jimmy had this relationship where I don't really know how much he knew about my music. He knew that I was putting out records, but he wasn't really concerned with any of who I was as an artist. He was my brother. And then I realized that after he was gone, I was like, he didn't really know. Like I was.
Where were you in your career when he, by the time?
Oh, I had like he, Lucy Pearl was out.
Okay.
I had been, you know, I did the Tonys.
Yeah.
You know, Prince and Sheila E. I'd been gone.
Okay.
You know, since 18, I left the house. You know, 17, I was gone. I never got a chance to talk to him about his addiction. You know, like what's that like being in our family and having an addiction when you come over, everybody knows that you're like strung out. And we never had that conversation. So I wasn't trying to make this sort of album, this kind of album. I just went down the rabbit hole, and then I was like, am I really doing this? When people used to listen to me sing like love songs or soul songs, soulful songs then I just went down this rabbit hole, and then it was hard to talk about it first because I realized I was really talking about my brother, and then he has a son who's like my son. And, you know, then I had to play the record for him because I'm basically talking about his dad. So I had to play the record for him, and we sort of had a moment. I played the record. He was in the studio. I was kind of sitting here, and I was sitting here. I was at the board. I played it, and then I looked back at him, and he was, you know, looking kind of weird. We both start tearing up a little bit. Then I was like, oh, this is not going to be that easy to do, you know, perform. So, but now I'm like, for my mom, didn't see any of this coming, but my mom gets to see this album with her son who says Jimmy Lee when everybody looked at him so bad. She gets to see his name all over the place on TV, everywhere. So I'm really happy about that. I didn't see that for coming anyway.
When we think of Raphael Sadiq, I mean, you've soundtracked, you know, some of our best times of our lives, you know, Tony Anniversary and all your solo albums, Just Me and You, and, you know, love songs. Why would you say it took you so long to get to this point where you could tell this specific story?
I always felt like the records that I grew up liking and loving, you know, like, you know, people like, you know, Donny Hathaway and Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Stevie Wonder, and all these people that sing, I'm like, I don't think I took myself serious because they were so good. And I'm like, you can't be good like Stevie, bro. You're not going to sing like Donny Hathaway, so do not take yourself that serious. I think it took me all this time to be like, okay, I could kind of like say I'm somebody right now. I'm such a fan of music.
Yeah.
When I walk out my house as a kid, when I see people outside, I was a people, you know, it's like a real people watcher. Kind of loved everybody. When I seen people in the street, like homeless people, or if I seen an older lady walking down the street, she likes, you know, 80 years old and she has kids and she's walking from the bus stop. I always wonder, like, why is that old lady walking from the bus stop? Why isn't her kids picking her up? They got it. I see them driving like BMWs. Why is this old lady? I think all of that is in my music. Mm. That's why I was making songs like, you know, anniversary. I wasn't married. I didn't have nobody to have an anniversary with.
Yeah.
I just felt like somebody had one.
Okay.
Or I have songs that talk about, you know, me and the kids are left here disappointed. I don't have no kids. I don't think.
Come on.
But, yeah, so I think that it took me this time to be like, you know, I can kind of hold my own, you know, but I just think it's the love of people that kept me humble.
Mm-hmm.
All the talent before me was so great, so
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
That I couldn't really boast. I was like, no, you just lucky to be even. You know, I always tell people, you got to get on the football field first before you start, you know, bragging and saying you this, you're hot, you all of that. Because
but you've been on the field for a while.
I've been on it, but these people,
like, for our generation, like, when you think about all of the people that you've collaborated with and people who you were really a conduit for them to get to their greatness, you know, through writing and producing.
Yeah.
You know, D'Angelo's biggest hits. You know, you got you helped Badu get a Grammy. I mean, the Solange album. You know, we can just start right there. I mean,
yeah. You know, I don't think about them, and they don't. Me and D'Angelo, like, when we worked together, when we did Lady, we mm-hmm. did it in my garage and in this little makeshift studio I had. And then when it was done, we just looked at each other like what just happened? And we were like, I don't know. And I ain't see him for like maybe. Yeah, almost a year.
Okay.
And then he was playing a show, and I went to the show and was like, what's kind of happening? They like this dude. You know what I mean? So then we did Untitled, and then it was like, I kind of like, it was we were gonna put a group together.
Okay.
Before I did Lucy Pearl.
This was you, him, and somebody else, right?
That was me, him, and Q-Tip.
Yeah.
It was called Lynwood Rose. But
yeah.
At this time, D was about to be super, super hot.
Uh-huh.
And Kamal, Q-Tip, is Q-Tip. So those are my two friends that are really artists. Those are my last friends that are going to be friends like that, that are artists. But yeah, you can't have artist friends. Those are the last two. But I think I left because I see what he, you know, where he was going. He had to go. I said, you know, let him do his thing. I leave unannounced. His manager was sort of mad at me because I just got on the plane and was like, I'm not waiting on him.
Mm-hmm.
Deuces, left. Maybe like 3 months later, I came back to New York and I was walking around the village. And I was like, let me see, where can I get a joint from? Summer, I know. And I was like, this is a true story. And I was like, I wonder if he's still at the studio where he lives. I ring the doorbell. Usually like a second engineer coming at the door. It's an electric lady, so you have to mm-hmm. walk up, run up, and run to the front door. I rang the bell, it's D'Angelo here. He opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what's up? Man, you got a joint? Hell yeah, I got a joint. He's like, can we do a song? I'm like, yeah. So, pissed off. I'm like, yeah, whatever, yeah. We walk in and we do Untitled.
Wow.
And like maybe like.
That's crazy.
Like in about maybe like 2 hours. And so the tape runs out. The record just goes. It just goes off. You know, it goes off.
Yeah.
And so we're using tape. So we're going to add more tape and make an ending. And I was like, no, don't do that. Don't. Just leave it like that.
Hmm.
She said, what are we going to call it? I said, Untitled. Because the dad tapes say Untitled at that time.
Okay.
And then I left. And then he hadn't sang the end. And I said, well, you should just be screaming on the end of the song.
Mm.
And I left. And he was like, the video going to be dope. I'm going to be playing guitar. And then my boy, about a month later, the video came out. My boy's like, yeah, you didn't want to be in that video. I'm like, nah, wrong video. So so working with people, I'm saying we don't think about who we are in that whole essence of music. We're trying to make people that came before us, if they see us, that's, you know, if I seen Rick James, you know, rest in peace, when I saw Rick James, I want him to say, you okay. Not that I'm dope, that mm-hmm. I'm good or anything. I just want him to say, all right, I hear you.
Well,
and that's what they all did. None of them said I was great. None of them said I was dope. They was all like this. All right. I see what you're doing.
Well, I mean, you spent so much of your career making that kind of feel-good music.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is so shocking about this album, in a good way, because it is so personal, it is so vulnerable. And, you know, you let us in a way where I feel like, you know, this album is expressing, I know it's about your family, but it's also about us. And, you know, it's about America, especially this era.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, like, do you feel like you were making that feel-good music to remedy the trauma that you had experienced, or were you in some ways maybe even trying to run away from it?
Maybe so. We don't get therapy. So
true.
You know.
Black folks, especially.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my brother, one of my brothers. He committed suicide. He was 2 years older than me. So he was in between my brother Dwayne. Dwayne is the other member of Tony. Then he killed himself in my dad's house. Like, you know, just shot himself a double barrel shotgun. My brother called me, like, Desmond killed himself. And I'm like, what? So then we go to the house, and my dad is, the police took my dad. Mm-hmm. And, because they thought maybe he did it, but it was no way that could ever happen. Right. They brought him home. And then they took my brother out in this, looked like a hefty garbage bag, because there was nothing left, really. This is all gone. So I watched the corner just walk out with this bag, and then my sister looked at me and just goes like, I told that boy, like, to get his life. And it was weird, because he was addicted too. Mm. And he didn't like it, that he couldn't kick it. Mm. And he felt like, you know, look at this family who's so, like, peachy clean, but he can't stop. Mm. So my dad was like, he didn't call. You could call people to clean up the mess. My dad said, let's clean it up. And we cleaned it up, me, my brother, and my dad. Like, we were picking up pieces of skull, like, off the ground. And I did that for, like, maybe, like, 2 hours. I mean, with, like, wash rags. And, and my dad owns just, like, these buildings, just apartments, and it was one of his apartments. I think I just dove into the music, kept playing, and it just kept happening. I lost my first brother at seven. I was seven. He was murdered by my sister's boyfriend. Mm. I was seven.
Wow.
And I remember my dad saying, like, these people are not your friends. And my brother sort of looked like me, and he just looked at my dad and, like, what you know, old man? And smiled at my dad. And I'm sitting on the passenger side. And I watched it from this weekend to the next weekend, he was dead.
Wow.
And so from that point on, I was always listening to parents and, you know, just I didn't think I was running. I think I was just, the neighborhood was kind of like that also. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. You know, so I couldn't shake it off like that. True. I think as I got older and I started making music, I always, like, you know, you kind of wish you had those people in your life, like, you know, just for some happy hour, go out, have a beer with your brothers, like, yo, come on. Yeah. I got this, I got that, I got this over here, we can go and enjoy it. And so when I don't have that, you know, those brothers and, you know, my sister that I lost in the car accident, I think I did just that was, music is my therapy.
No doubt.
Before I even figured that out. I think I probably figured it out on this record when people start asking me questions about it. I'm like, oh, I didn't, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe, you know, that's why I can't be like super self-indulgent about being an artist that's produced like Solange and D'Angelo. I'm like, so what?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? I mean, I did it. It came out good. I'm excited about it. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, I'm like, I'm really was trying to make my father happy and my mom.
No doubt, yeah. No doubt. Well, you called this album an album for men. I heard in an interview that you kind of talked about it in those terms. Is it in some ways a conversation with the brothers that you've lost, or is it more so just about being able to talk about a lot of that that stuff that we traditionally in our community haven't really had professionals to talk to about?
Yeah, well, I just felt like I'm not a real, I mean, P.S. is weird. People think I'm quiet. I'm far from quiet, but I'm just not around, you know. I'm just not, like, super, I don't know what it is. I'm just not seen. I'm loud wherever I'm at, you know. My friends would be like, quiet? I'm far from quiet. But I think this album, I talk a lot and I express myself a lot. And I think I'm everybody else's therapist. So when you hear, like, songs like This World is Drunk,
yeah,
I'm talking about people that I know. And this story is a very, you know, very true story. Mm-hmm. You take so much in, you gotta get it out. You just can't keep it in, you know. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't keep singing about, you know, love you, baby, and turn up, car rims. And I needed to say something. And I'm very happy that people are really listening to an album like this, and you know,
yeah,
and at this time in my career, you know.
I'm curious how your peers have responded. I read in one interview you said when Kendrick put out the Pimp a Butterfly album, you sent him a text saying thank you for taking one for the team.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like so many people in this generation, the musicians, you know, on the soul side especially, and hip hop too, they follow you. You're a leader, yeah, like a quiet leader in a way. So I'm curious, like, how have they been reacting to you taking it so deep on this album?
So far, I mean, people text me, a lot of different artists text me and say, thank you, it's a beautiful record. And so I'm getting a lot of support from, like, you know, younger and older artists. Everybody's kind of like, for me, I was just trying to learn the song so I can actually, you know, sing them. But I'm like, yo, I wrote all this stuff, but now I got to remember the words. And, you know, you know, my brother said, he said, I don't really have that enthusiasm to be in a studio like that no more, like you. And I was like, yeah, well, I do. I still got it. I still want to be like one of the dopest kind of like artists who could take a chance on making people sing a new song after you've been making music for close to 30 years. Mm. It's hard to do that. People don't really want to hear new music when you got a song like Just Me and You or Anniversary. I can't even sing all my songs. I can't even go to shows and sing the songs people want. People like screaming out like songs in Europe. Like I'm like, I think I'm gonna just bring a jukebox on stage. And the songs that I can't play, I just think I'm just gonna actually just press play and just let people kind of like, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm really just shocked about my whole career, really, because I think I slept. People say Rafael Saadiq is the most slept on artist. I think I slept on myself too. I just like, I would read this all the time. I would go like, slept on. I'm slept on? I mean, because I ain't Kanye? Because I ain't talking loud? I'm like, I'm slept on? Nah, they know.
We know.
They know.
We know.
I'm dope.
No doubt. No doubt. Everybody, Rafael Saadiq, give it up for this man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.